You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, a song that beautiful, and that is a beautiful song, My Country. It takes you back to the time when America was actually a real nation, the time of our founding, those great men. It almost is beautiful enough to want you to grab a flag and wave it, but I know you're going to resist.
You know what, James, one quick note. I remember, I'm a little bit older than you, about, 33, 30-something years. I remember being in grammar school back in the 1950s.
You used to sing songs like that.
Used to sing that, and it meant something because, you know what, and we used to get this thing called a weekly reader, James, and I distinctly remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, you did? In the 80s,
they still had that.
Well, it said, I remember it was talking about the United States of America was 90% white, and we were patriotic. We were still Southerners. People used to love to be Southerners, take pride. But the song, it's still – brings chills, but
it does. It's not the same, I agree, but I tell you, as we approach the 4th of July, there's still something special there in its essence, but
we're going to get it back.
We are, and I realize it's incredibly difficult to get excited and celebrate anything associated with modern-day America because the government of this country and its lapdogs and the media now stand for everything that is ugly and vile. But when you listen to songs like that, I ask you to let your mind slip back to a time when this nation actually attempted to realize her promise. And remember that God hears the prayers of a righteous man.
Amen.
And we want you to have a good 4th of July. I'm going to have a good 4th of July. I won't have the American flag at my festivities. I'll have the Confederate flag. But I'll tell you, I actually tried to find a good rendition of America the Beautiful to put on every Sunday morning. We have a little musical selection that we feature at the website. I couldn't find a good version of America the Beautiful that didn't have the American flag in it. So I ended up just playing Bad to Me by Billy J. Kramer and the Dakotas. Always loved that song. But listen to those songs and let them stir your spirit. Know that what's been lost can be restored, and I do believe that we will take things back. And I talk about this with Sam Dixon in this CD that we're sending out to everybody who donated
Sam's the man.
In the second quarter. But there was an author who wrote in 2005 an article entitled Fireworks, Gettysburg, and a Bittersweet 4th of July. I'd like to read a couple of excerpts from that this segment, and here's what he writes. The 4th of July has become a bittersweet celebration for me these years. Of course, I'm thankful to God for the courageous and self-sacrificing founders and for their clarity of purpose and the expression springing from their faith in Christ as the ruler and sustainer of the universe. I marvel at the mercy of a loving God who's been so patient with a country that has so squandered its birthright and turned back on his law and even the acknowledgement of his existence. I'm most grateful for God's mercy, though I can't conceive or measure it. I know his patience, though, is not unlimited. But my sadness this 4th of July has two sources. One is the knowledge that as a people, we've blown it. Our civil leaders are worse than corrupt. They represent a perversion of government, a perversion of law, and the language of liberty. They've called evil good and good evil. Our Supreme Court makes laws up as they go along. They teach anti-law. Our judges almost exclusively are anti-Christian. We kill our own young at the sake of convenience. But it's worse than that. All of this goes on while Christians, God's people, sit around and fiddle and in some cases aid and abet the murder of these innocents, the destruction of liberty, and the mocking of God. Indeed, America and Christians are so ignorant of their history and their heritage that they don't know who their father is. They don't know what their landmarks are. They don't know that they've lost their way. They've lost their instinct that would tell them that. They've lost the knowledge of God. The second sadness comes from the historical proximity of Independence Day to our defeat of the American forces at Gettysburg. And I love what this author does in this piece. He refers to the American forces quite rightly as the Confederates. On the 4th of July in 1863, 3 days of brutal and desperate fighting to defend and preserve an American way of life, American soldiers retreated on that 4th of July through the rain in Frederick, Maryland, and slipped back across the Potomac River into the relative safety of Virginia. That was on the 4th of July, Eddie, in 1863. Wow. Our Confederate forces, our American forces, were slipping back across after their defeat in Gettysburg. I wonder what Independence Day thoughts went through the minds of these men as they marched away from that horrific scene where they and their brethren had sacrificed life and limb for the cause of American independence, their second American Revolution. What singular faith and courage led them to continue that struggle to defend America from the growing tyrant? Though most people really living in America don't realize that their Army of Northern Virginia was the last force capable of countermanding the centralized tyranny that has succeeded in undermining the concept of the Constitutional Republic. When we lost at Gettysburg, no earthly force remained that could stand against the Washington Leviathan. The growing monster would eventually murder 50 million American babies, would send our daughters to die and stupidly, needlessly, wars for their lust of blood and power. Our daughters and our sons would undermine fatherhood and our families and seek dominion over our children. This government would stare at us from every street corner with its cyclop eyes to make sure we have every seatbelt buckled, would number and monitor us, would drug our children to make sure they grew up without any idea of what liberty means or the knowledge of the true source of law and liberty in government. After Gettysburg, the struggle became one in which Lincoln's general waged total war against the women and children of the South, burning and destroying all in their path. During this time, Grant sacrificed thousands of his own men for the sake of consolidating power in Washington. That same power would be used later at Ruby Ridge and Waco. Most people living in America might not see the connection between the defeat of our forces at Gettysburg and the death of 50 million babies. But most people in America wouldn't understand in large measure. This is because most people in America would have been led to think that America won that war.
We've talked about that a million times.
America
on the show.
Didn't win that war. Yeah. America lost that war.
Well, I agree with that guy.
That's something to remember on the 4th of July, because it was on this 4th of July, wow, in 1863 that the American forces, the forces fighting to preserve America, were retreating from Gettysburg.
James, I got chills up and down my spine. You know, that guy, he's repeating what we've said on this show many times. The same Leviathan monster, the satanic forces that came from the North to invade the South, they're the same ones that are murdering the millions of white babies, babies of all colors. They're the same ones that have started every kind of ungodly war in the Mideast to make the world safe for Israel. They're the same forces that are in Libya right now, attacking, James, heard this at the conference. There's 3.5 million Christians in Libya fighting against ISIS, fighting against American troops. We'll come back after the break, people. We'll finish talking about this.
Yeah, we got
great
more to come. I want Eddie's thoughts on this, and they're going to come this hour. Stay tuned.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you, if you let your mind go back to the founding of our people on this continent in the 1600s through the Revolutionary War, all the way through the Second War of Independence in the 1860s, that song will mean something to you, and it means something to me, and I love those people, and I love the founders, and I love what this country once stood for, and I love that song. And I will celebrate the 4th of July, not with the flag of the occupied government, the government that occupies the South, but I will celebrate Independence Day in my own way and with my family and in our hearts and in the right ways. And I think in the ways that the author of that piece that we were reading from the last segment, Eddie, would celebrate it with his. This country, as envisioned by our founders, was dead after 1865. Sure, the 1950s were great, and it was a beautiful time. But it was already on the way down. We had lost power by then. Eddie, you're again, I bring this up on occasions like this, Memorial Day, Independence Day. You're a man who wore the uniform and fought in Vietnam. And the flag, these celebrations, what do they mean to you? And then, of course, expound upon what you were going to say in response to this incredible article, which we will feature. I only read excerpts from it, but we will feature this article we have a couple of great articles that we're going to have up on July 4th on our website at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The full article that we're reading from in the last segment will be featured. Everyone needs to read that on the 4th of July. But Eddie, anyway, my question was, you as a veteran, the flag, this country, your response to that article we're reading from, tie it all together and take it away.
You know, I would like to go back and say I indeed have chills because I remember back in 57, 58, 59 when I was in grammar school and we played all those songs and we all put our hand over our heart. We meant it.
You love the country. You love God. The South has already been defeated, but we were still a people. We were still a people group here in the South, and we love this country. Well, Sam makes a great point, too. Yes, but even though some of our people have been defeated, they are waiting for us when we all meet Jesus. But anyway,
I think a fitting thing to do, and I'm serious, you know, and when you take the American flag and turn it upside down, it's a sign of distress. We could display the American flag turned upside down, maybe our Confederate flag, which really represented, you know, the true constitutional government. But listen, what this man talked about, the evil spirit in 1860, here, the same, I would like to go back to this. Actually, the spirit that came into the South that drove those Northern troops into the South to commit all the horrible atrocities they did against our people, that spirit was alive way before 1860. James, that was what we were talking about in the break. That's the same spirit that Jesus Christ drove out of the temple with the cat of nine tails, with the whip, that when they turned the temple into a coin exchange, a whorehouse. It's the same evil spirit that hollered, "Crucify him," in front of Pontius Pilate. It certainly is. That's the same spirit, fast forward to 1860, 65, that came into the South and destroyed, it desecrated churches. They put animals in churches, the Northern troops did. It's the same spirit that came into the South in the 50s and 60s, and indeed all over the United States, this outlawed prayer in school, that's taken the Ten Commandments out of the school, that's taken the cross out of school, yet has forced the Jewish menorah onto the White House lawn and Christmas, but yet at the same time forced the nativity scene out. It's this same spirit, people, that's forcing this perverted, I don't even know if you call it homosexual sex anymore. It goes beyond that. They have certain sexual monikers that I never heard of, for instance, like, you know, non-binary. It's the same spirit, the exact same spirit that's keep destroying the borders, destroying the churches in this country. It's the same spirit that when Clinton was in the White House that they bombed the Christians in Serbia. It's the same spirit right now that's leading United States forces in Syria to fight against the 3.5 million Christians in Syria. That Dr. David Duke pointed that out at the.
I got to mention this in this
Christians there. We're fighting them.
Well,
James.
In the interview that I did with Sam Dixon, the off the record interview that everybody's getting that donated $1 or more during the second quarter fundraising drive, he brought up a great point. He mentioned that everything this government has done since the fall of the South has been anti-white and anti-Christian. He said everything, and he brought up a point that even I didn't realize. He said, of all the places that they could have bombed in Japan,
right? Where are you going?
What was the one place? What was the city they dropped the bomb on?
It was the city Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You know why? Because that's where they had a fledgling Christian population.
There you go. He said, not one in 1,000 or one in 10,000 Americans would know that. He said, that's right. He said, everything they have done is anti-white and anti-Christian. He said, of all the cities they could have dropped the bomb on in Japan, they chose the one with the most Christians.
And can you imagine? You know what? Now, James, you and I have talked about this before. These people, they're like, they have a supernatural intellect. They have a supernatural wit about them. And yes, and you know why it seems supernatural? Because it is supernatural. They get their power from their father, Satan. You know, we discussed that once again, before I get too far-fetched, this is the same spirit, people, that you go into modern schools here in Memphis, Tennessee, children can't even go to the bathroom because the girls get attacked by other lesbian gangs, boys get attacked by homosexual gangs. That's happening right here.
Or you go into a women's bathroom now, you get attacked by a man pretending to be a woman.
You sure do.
God only knows what happens.
I mean, it's just, it gets crazier every day. I've told James before, I'm 70 years old. and it's and I'm as fit as I've ever been, but it's hard for me to cope with what's happened here in America, what I see every day.
Do you feel, Eddie, as a man who served, I can't say our country, but this country, who
yeah,
served their
to.
Country in Vietnam, do you feel as though you're living under an occupied government?
Oh, I know I am. Yes, I certainly do. Yes, I certainly do, because the occupied government, it's just like Jesus said.
And this is coming from a veteran who even today, even the media says we're supposed to salute and hold it with reverence. In Eddie's case, it's quite right.
You know, it's the same Antichrist spirit that has come into and they have done woe to you who make unjust decrees, and woe to you, you know, who dispossess, you know, orphans and widows. This is the same group, James. We have the Babylonian financial system here in this country. Me and Dr. Hill talked about that about a month ago, about the financial system of this country, run by the elite, the Jewish elite, central bankers in the Federal Reserve system here in America. The Bank of London that controls the Federal Reserve. It's the same spirit that I think it was Hosea in the Old Testament when he talked about. He said that the shekel was great, but the bushel was small. He's talking about inflation. It's the same spirit that's enslaved our people under a Babylonian financial system.
Hold on right there, Eddie. When we come
back, you can't name them all.
We're going to tell you what Thomas Jefferson meant when he wrote in the Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal. What did he mean by that? It's not what you think.
Under the law, white men.
We'll be back.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. University counselors around the country are reporting larger than normal visits from students with issues ranging from depression to suicidal tendencies. Some are caused by drug and alcohol abuse that in turn may be due in fact to the fact that many millennials are not ready to deal with reality. They are used to being coddled by their parents and having instant gratification. Now they're faced with the realization they're incurring big debts by just going to college, debts that they will likely have to pay off later if they can. Walmart's telling trucking companies that they have got to stop moving products for Amazon if they want to keep Walmart's business. You see, Amazon and Walmart are significant users of the trucking industry. This comes on the heels of Walmart telling tech partners to stop using Amazon's cloud services. So Amazon is a competitor. Walmart doesn't want its vendors leaving Walmart information on a cloud that's owned by Amazon. And Amazon's impending purchase of Whole Food Markets will put it in competition with Walmart's groceries. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Audio Compass is the perfect software solution for remote broadcasting. Consider Audio Compass for sporting events, talk show hosts, sound bites from the field, and more. Allow Audio Compass to transfer low delay, crystal clear audio over the internet. AudioCompass.com. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email, LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin, just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Are all men created equal? Jared Taylor, our good friend of American Renaissance, explained in a recent video how every so-called equal rights movement, from abolition to homosexual so-called marriage, has hijacked Thomas Jefferson's words from the Declaration of Independence. Jared demonstrates that the phrase was meant to justify independence from England, not to give women the vote or to promote mass immigration. He notes that federal judges, Ho Chi Minh, and even Chinese college students now borrow Jefferson's words to promote ideas that Jefferson would have thought to be abominable. So I thought that this video selection, which we're going to play in audio form here for you now, would be particularly appropriate in advance of Independence Day. Let's hear Jared Taylor, Are All Men Created Equal?
Hello, I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. All men are created equal. These five words are the most abused, misinterpreted, and dangerous words in American history. They've been used to justify every egalitarian fantasy and every so-called equal rights movement since the country began. They are, of course, Thomas Jefferson's words from the Declaration of Independence. Jefferson has been claimed as an inspiration by abolitionists, suffragettes, gay rights activists, open borders fanatics, and now, people who say we don't have the right to keep out Muslims. This is all crazy, of course. Jefferson didn't mean any of this. But President Barack Obama was just keeping up with the times when he tweeted a quotation from the gay activist Harvey Milk. All men are created equal. No matter how hard they try, they can never erase those words. That is what America is about. A lot of people agree. The distinguished historian Joseph J. Ellis called these five words, quote, the most potent and consequential words in American history. Well, what did Jefferson really mean? Well, first of all, in 1776, the only people who could vote were free white men who owned property. Jefferson never wanted to give the vote to women or blacks or Indians or poor people. And of course, from the age of 21, Jefferson owned slaves. He had about 200 when he wrote the Declaration. He thought slavery was an evil thing, but he also thought that free blacks in a white society was even worse. He wanted the slaves freed and sent back to Africa, or any place where whites and blacks would be, in his words, beyond the reach of mixture. He didn't think blacks were very intelligent either. As he put it, quote, their existence appears to participate more of sensation than reflection. And let's not forget the purpose of the Declaration of Independence. It was to explain why the American colonies have the right to be free from Britain. It lists a bunch of grievances against the king that justify revolution. One of those grievances is that the king had encouraged attacks on settlers by, as Jefferson put it, merciless Indian savages. I don't think Jefferson thought savages were his equals. The five famous words appear near the beginning of the Declaration. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, was it self-evident in 1776 that women and blacks and homosexuals and American Indians were all equal, or ever would be? Of course not. Not one of the signers of the Declaration thought those things or ever dreamed anyone would ever think such things. This sentence is setting the stage for a bunch of untitled commoners to tell King George III and all of his dukes and earls that the colonists aren't going to take orders from them anymore. That Americans were the equals of their rulers. The great essayist H.L. Mencken translated the Declaration into plain English. When he got to the created equal part, he put it this way. First, me and you is as good as anybody else, and maybe a damn sight better. In other words, Jefferson is saying, we are men like you, and we have the right to tell you to buzz off. In 1825, 49 years after he wrote the Declaration, Jefferson himself made it clear that all the Declaration did was explain why the colonists had the right to rebel against England. Its purpose was, as he explained, not to find out new principles or new arguments never before thought of, but to place before mankind the common sense of the subject. No new principles, just a common sense explanation for why Americans were fighting the Redcoats. And for decades, that's the way most people understood the Declaration. There was nothing holy about it. It did its job, and the United States became independent. It was much later, when the obsession with equality went into high gear, that people went back to the Declaration and decided to twist Jefferson's words into something insanely different from what he meant. Those five words are the only ones in the whole Declaration anyone cares about today, and that is only because they deliberately ignore what the words originally meant. And don't forget, when the founders decided to write a constitution, that is to say, when they made the rules for actually running the country, they didn't put in any fluff about people being equal. Oh, no. We have an electoral college to keep the rabble from running wild. We had indirect election of senators to keep the rabble from running wild. And it took amendments to the Constitution to give freedom to slaves and to give women the vote. But those words of Jefferson's have become a Frankenstein monster. In February 2014, U.S. District Judge Arenda Wright Allen issued a ruling declaring that the state of Virginia's ban on gay marriage was unconstitutional. Her reasoning, and I quote, "Our Constitution declares that all men are created equal." No, it doesn't. Now, here's a photograph of Judge Wright Allen. And before you draw unkind conclusions about her, both the New York Times and NBC passed along her astonishing error without correcting it. They couldn't tell the Constitution from the Declaration either. Well, the Frankenstein monster really gets around. In 1945, Ho Chi Minh issued a Proclamation of Independence from France in which he cribbed "all men are created equal" straight out of the Declaration. But not even the commies put those words into their Constitution. Lately, I heard from an American who teaches English at a Chinese university out in the provinces. He talks to his students about race differences in IQ, but many of them say, "No, that can't be right. All men are created equal." They don't even know where the words come from, but even Chinese out in the sticks parrot this nonsense. And one more thing. Liberals think the "created equal" phrase in the Declaration is somehow proof of racial equality. Well, do they also think that it's proof of creationism? It says all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator, capital C, with inalienable rights. Well, try using the Declaration to prove that evolution is wrong. You'd be laughed out of town, just as we ought to laugh out of town every goofball who claims the Declaration proves everyone is equal to everyone else. It's a form of insanity. And I think that's exactly how Jefferson would have seen it. Thanks very much for watching. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and visit our website at amren.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that video, completely appropriate, the last show we have before Independence Day, the 4th of July. It also proves why Jared Taylor, my good friend and yours, is such a national treasure. And, of course, we'll be at the American Renaissance Conference in just a couple of weeks from now. Eddie, we only have seconds remaining before the commercial break starts, but in 60 seconds or less, your response to what you heard from the great Jared Taylor.
He made so many points, but I would like to make one that I'm pretty familiar with. Matter of fact, he mentioned the Electoral College. As a matter of fact, I'm reading a book on the Electoral College and the way it used to be. It doesn't even any resemble, does not resemble the old Electoral College. And this is how the old Electoral College was before the amendment was passed that Jared talked about to do away with it. And the old Electoral College, electors were selected in each of the states, each of the colonies, each of the states once it became a nation, by as the state legislature saw fit. These electors would choose candidates that they thought would be a good president, under which one of which of the candidates had to be from another state from which the elector resided. Okay, after all the candidates were put together and voted on by the electors, the candidate that had the majority of the nominations would be the president. The one that came in second would be the vice president. I got to continue this when we come back to the break. Got to explain this electoral
college. May or may not be able to, depending on whether or not Scoop calls in, which is always a 50-50 proposition.
Take another minute, I can do it.
You're going to have to take that up with Scoop.
Well.
Okay, we'll be right back, everybody. We'll see what happens.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, everybody, we've got the closer on the show now, Scoop. Scoop, our D.C. correspondent, is with us, and he's got all sorts of stories. See, Scoop, like me, was not on the show last week, so you keep Scoop off the show for 2 weeks, and it's an overflowing dam ready to burst. He's going to drop the Bombardier as the segment. It's Scoop's choice. Scoop, what are you dealing tonight?
I'm doing outstanding, James, because it's a great week for the American voter, the alt-right media, and just patriots in general. Because we have been vindicated this week, sir. because this week we saw the start of the downfall of mainstream media. James O'Keefe and his crack staff over at Project Veritas was able to get CNN producers and personalities to admit on hidden camera that the Russia probe was fake, and CNN had an agenda coming straight from CNN boss Jeff Zucker. Now, the producer on one film clip said the Russia story was a Bravo Zero. Then, next clip, avowed communist Van Jones, who's also a very, very snappy dresser, and said that Donald Trump was a white lash, said that the Russia story was a big nothing burger. And then another video was released with another CNN producer saying that the voters are nothing but poo, and that, and also in the same clip, CNN was editing stories concerning voters in New Hampshire, how they come in by the busloads, no paperwork, just walk up and vote, but CNN edited that out because it did not fit their political agenda. And so far, CNN has been made tight-lipped except for a tweet concerning an exposed producer on Project Veritas supporting his diverse opinion, whatever the hell that means. And now I can't wait for the next Trump rally where for 90 minutes people will be yelling on top of their lungs, CNN sucks. What's good, before and after the election inauguration of Donald Trump, you have 10, 15, 20,000 people in an arena on live TV, live streaming, screaming, CNN sucks. And the Donald just loves it. Now, speaking of President Trump, he decided to go after MSNBC's Morning Joe host Mika Brzezinski and her cuckold husband Joe Scarborough. Now, for this show, for the longest time, I honestly thought that Mike Barnicle and Little Willie Geist were romantically involved, as they practically sat on top of each other. Also, Willie Geist never says a word until after Mike Barnicle. But moving right along, President Trump called out the pair, who are actually perfect for each other and no one else. He called, on Twitter, he called Mika psycho, called Joe Scarborough low IQ and crazy, and their show low rated. So far he's absolutely batting 100. So Trump also said that the pair was at Mar-a-Lago and wanted to see him at a gathering or whatever. And Brzezinski just had plastic surgery done. It was bleeding from the face, and Trump said no. Now, the media reacted if Trump just put a contract hit on those two on Twitter. Now, instead of telling the president to go urinate up a rope, Mika and Joe went on TV and told their audience with bated breath that they delayed their vacation to Boston, where they had tickets to Fenway Park to see Red Sox play some great game, to respond to Trump's tweet. I am dead serious. They made it all about themselves. Nobody cares where they go on vacation. Nobody cares what they do on vacation. But I'm surprised what Mika did not say what adult toys she packed in her suitcase to use on Joe. Well, they went on to say that they were in Palm Springs, that Donald wanted to see the pair, especially Mika, and was all about Mika. But then Mika, Joe, and the panel on MSNBC trashed Trump and his lack of respect for women. But the panel couldn't look up the fact on their phones that Trump had a long record of putting women in positions of power and authority with his companies and with the White House. And I guess the panel never, ever heard of one Kellyanne Conway. And the panel all said Trump was losing it. He's not the same guy from last year. And unnamed sources at the White House is worried that Trump is losing his marbles and so on and so forth. And CNN actually got involved.
I noticed they're unnamed, Scoop.
For Joe.
No one knows who those people are.
Say again?
I said I noticed these so-called sources that accuse Trump of losing his mind.
Exactly.
They're unnamed. Right. No one can know who they are.
Right.
Continue on, Scoop.
You know, everything is unnamed sources, but here, you know, for James O'Keefe, you actually see the person on video and on audio stating whatever. So CNN tweeted support for Joe and Mika. Now, here's something Donald Trump should put out that's truth. Back in June of 2001, Joe Scarborough was a U.S. congressman out of Florida. And in one of his Florida offices, a 28-year-old employee of Scarborough was found dead in his office. She was in reasonably good health and is unknown why she passed away. The person that did the autopsy has had his medical license revoked twice for doctoring autopsies. So fortunately for Representative Scarborough, this is June of 2001, and we all know what happened Black Tuesday in September of 2001. So Scarborough walked away scot-free. He quit his position and went on MSNBC, where he has exactly the same amount of fans I do. Now, finally, everyone needs to listen to Sean Bergen's last show on Sean Bergen Straight to the Point, heard on WLINY.com. Also, it's on YouTube. He has broke down the media meltdown like nobody ever could, including yours truly's very poor attempt. James, I'll get back to you.
Hey, Scoop, one thing you mentioned about Trump, President Trump, he's not afraid to mix it up. He's not afraid to use his tweets is what I like. I hear a lot of people criticize President Trump for using his tweets. Well, in a way, I'm glad he does that. I would like to ask the people who criticize Trump for doing that, how else can he get out his true message? He can't go through the lying media. There's no way he can do that. That's right. That's where I was going, Sam. You know, I liken that to our Liberty News and to the political cesspool. That's how we get around the news media. We can't go through the so-called major news media scoop. So I would like to put this invitation down. I'm sure it probably won't go anywhere. If Trump wants to get to own a legitimate news media without having to resort to his tweets, which I do like, he can come on the Liberty News or he can come on Political Cesspool just about any time he wants to. That is, unless we have somebody else that trumps him. But, Scoop, I listened to that link that you sent me, and the guy didn't get to listen to all of it, but the guy was right on. CNN has really been caught, lying like a dog. What a surprise. We none of us ever thought that they would be lying. But you're absolutely right on that, Scoop. You did a great job, guy.
Yeah, and of course, CNN hires Van Jones, and they don't hire Sean Berg, and we're fortunate enough to get him. Also, WLNY is also fortunate enough to get him. So check him out, Straight to the Point with Sean Berg, and also keep on listening, keep on donating. James Edwards, TPC at Twitter, Scoop Stanton at Twitter, Sean Berg News at Twitter, and James_Lancia on Twitter.
You know what, Scoop? I wish what the cesspool needs, what we need, I wish there was some way we could do it. We need to broadcast another day. We just cannot get it all in one 3-hour segment, man. We need at least another day.
Right.
We need some money, though.
We need spinoff shows. We need spinoff shows. We need our people to become like the cast of Friends, and we all get our own sitcom after the fact.
Right. Well, Sean's tearing up on WLANY, and he's had myself, James, Lancia as guests.
Sam, an hour a day, though, it goes. We tried that. We did that back in the Beanfield days.
No. You're wrong. We were 2 hours.
That's right. We went to 2 hours.
We went to 7 to 9.
Didn't we start off just one,
No, we started off 2, and then we went to 1, and then we went weekly.
Okay, yeah. 2 hours a day in the Beanfield. We rocked and rolled. You can get a lot
of AM 1380 back in those days. Now we're AM 1600.
Sure was.
But nevertheless, Scoop's right. We do have Sean Bergen, who isn't necessarily a satellite broadcast of the political cesspool, but he is one of our guys that has his own show now. And Scoop's mentioned the website a couple of times. So we've got our people out there. Of course, Sam Bushman, Monday through Friday at LibertyRoundtable.com. So we're out there. I guess just me and you, though, Eddie, personally are regulated to Saturday nights. But, hey, that's all right. It gives you the opportunity to travel during the week.
Got that right, yeah.
You ain't going to get to... You're not going to get to Charlottesville in a day. That's a 2-day drive.
I'll tell you what, I'm really looking forward to going to Charlottesville. I'm going to be the most peaceful little lovely fuzzball.
Hey, now, Scoop, as we know up in D.C., that is just a stone's throw from Charlottesville. So will Scoop be joining you in Charlottesville?
Yep.
That's the question.
Yeah, maybe he'll be bringing his helmet.
And
notice
bringing
you have
boxes of ammo.
All right. All right, that's it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We love you. God bless you. Thank you, Scoop. Thank you, everyone, for Eddie the Bombardier, Keith Alexander, Sam, the rest of the team. I'm James Edwards. We'll see you next week.
www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.